My guest was taken to heaven for 5 hours, then taken to hell for 5 hours, and given a message that changed and marked him forever. Welcome, Holy Spirit. To God be not some of the glory, not the glory, but to God be all the glory. All the glory. No room for anyone else to be able to take credit. And God, we so trust that you're going to show up today, that miracles will be like popcorn. My guest, a second generation pastor, grew up in an atmosphere of miracles, revivals, and glory. That was his normal environment until he was catapulted to the highest level of the presence of God known to man. He spent 5 hours in heaven. Gary, explain. I left the other part out, by the way. Okay. You'll bring that up. Go ahead.
Most people ask me if I died. No, I didn't die. But in 2004, on a Saturday morning, I awoke 5 a.m., went to the sofa, and just began to spend time with God. I immediately sensed the presence of God in a very, very strong way. It in just moments became so strong that I went to the floor, got on my face before God, and began to weep. And I sensed my spirit leave my body. It detached from my body. And I knew what it was to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And the intensity of His presence was unlike anything I had ever known before or since. I've known some wonderful times with the Lord, seen visitations of heaven, but nothing like this before. And He restricted this just to His presence. I knew only His presence. I didn't see any of the things I'd seen before. I knew only the presence of God. And I was so detached, Sid, that I said to God, I said, if you want to take me now, and just not ever let me go back, I'd be okay with that. Like He needed my permission. But you know, that's not normal. It's normal for us to want to be with our families and feel an attachment to earth. But I felt a detachment because the glory of God supersedes everything. And if you think of what Isaiah said when he went into the throne room, I understand it now. I'm undone. I'm absolutely undone.
Wait, he was the holiest man of Israel,
yes,
when he said,
yes.
If the holiest man said it, what about us?
Yes. And the interesting thing there is that I felt humbled, but I didn't feel unworthy. And I had always thought when I died and went into the presence of God, I wondered if there would be a sense of unworthiness. No, it's humility. But you feel worthy because you've been made worthy by Jesus. And so God makes you feel absolutely welcome. He loves you. He cares for you. You feel like you're the only person that has His attention. And that's because you have His full attention. God gives His full attention to everyone. And so I enjoyed this incredible presence of God. And it's the most difficult thing about it is trying to describe it, because it was so filled with love, so filled with His presence, that it's hard to describe. It's a million times greater than anything we've ever known on earth. And it was just fantastic. This afterglow continued. I went to the church the next morning, told the people about it. We had an incredible altar response. And that afterglow went on until Tuesday night. And at midnight Tuesday night, I felt the presence of God leave my body like it was being vacuumed out of the top of my head. It felt horrible. And I immediately plunged into hell. The devil walked right up to me immediately. He reached up to my mouth and he pulled from my mouth something. And I realized it was the praises I had been speaking of God about that time in heaven. And he threw them on the ground. He stomped on them and he looked at me and he stunk and he's grotesque. He looked right at me and he said, "Where's your God now?" And I couldn't cry out to God. The worst part of hell is not fire. I experienced no fire. I'm not
saying... Why couldn't you cry out to God?
I couldn't cry out to God. It was not possible.
You were incapable.
I was incapable of that. And I actually one time said, why am I here? And I just heard the word faith. And that was it. I could not pray, could not cry out to God. I felt such fear. Whereas the time in God's presence had been 5 hours that seemed like 5 minutes, this 5 hours seemed like it would never end. And in hell, it's torment. In heaven, it's love. In hell, it's fear-based. And it's torment. If you take the worst panic attack you ever had in your life, the worst fight or flight response to something, the worst anxiety or grief you've ever had, and you multiply it a million times, you don't get close to what you feel in hell. And in hell, you experience things on different planes. For instance, you have the psychological torture of absolute silence. And then you have the psychological torture of loudness that's almost unbearable. You have condemnation and accusations coming at you from the enemy like shotgun pellets. And it's just almost unbearable. And the grief that you feel, the fear that you feel that some of your family, you know how you've been worried about your family at times for some reason or another? You worry all the time that your family will come to hell. And so there's torture and torment that's just unbelievable. But the worst part, Sid, is this: hopelessness. Hopelessness is how I'm
so
most...
So when people that know God and feel hopeless,
yes,
they have a little bit of hell that is just gone on them. Give it no place. That's what the devil the devil wants you to give it place. Mm-hmm. That's what God says. Mm-hmm. Give the devil no place.
That's right. Sometimes, you know, we'll usually have someone we can reach to vent to, or we can cry out to God. We can pray for His help. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. But there in hell, that's not available. So there is hopelessness. You have no human relationships in hell. None at all. You have no relationship. You just have torment and hopelessness. But then, Tuesday night, I went to bed at midnight, woke up at 3 a.m., and something began to change. And I began to sense something different when I woke up a bit later. Went back to sleep, woke up a bit later, and I took a pad and pencil, and I wrote down, "Resist the devil, and he will flee. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." It took 20 minutes. It was like I was writing against an unknown force. I sensed something above me. I looked up. I saw a mist. It came into my face, went down into my body. The presence of God had returned. And the hell experience and the aftermath of the hell experience had ended.
When we return, Gary will tell you how these experiences permanently changed him forever. And then he's going to pray for you to be saturated in this heavenly presence, this heavenly glory. Be right back.
Supernatural.
I want to share with you my exclusive CD about my 5 hours in heaven and 5 hours in hell. In 2004, I was taken out of my body and taken into the presence of God, into heaven, for 5 hours. It was a time that was absolutely filled with the magnified presence of God in a way that I had never known before, more than anything I had ever imagined. I told Him I'd be willing to stay there if He wanted to take me. But then His presence was taken from me. I was plunged into hell. The devil himself came up to me and he took the words of praise from my mouth and he stomped on them. And he said, "Where's your God now?" And just as the time in God's presence had been filled with overwhelming love and security, the time in hell was filled with insecurity and fear, anxiety and dread, torment on a level that I can't even begin to describe. But after that experience, Everything changed. I began to have divine encounters. I saw one lady coming out of a store, and I was parked next to her, and God said, compliment her three children. And I did so. And after that, he said, ask her if they're all from different fathers. And I said, ma'am, are all three of those children from different fathers? But she said, yes. And there's another child in me now that's from a fourth father. And that father's left me too. I said, you fall in love too easily, don't you? Would you like to hear about a man who will love you and never leave you or forsake you? And she said, yes, absolutely. And within about 2 minutes of my sharing the gospel, she was repenting of her sins and accepting Jesus as her Savior. She then told me she had come to the wrong store, was in the wrong place. I said, you were in just the right place today. And she said, I agree. On another occasion, I saw a lady in a wheelchair, and I said, ma'am, I understand you're dying. And she said, yes, shared the gospel. And right then, she accepted Jesus.
You can hear many more supernatural stories from Pastor Gary Brown on his exclusive audio CD, 10 Hours in Eternity, My Experiences in Heaven and Hell, when you call or go online at sidroth.org/9958 and make a donation of any size.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Gary, these two encounters profoundly marked you forever. How did it change you?
They sure did. I had been pastoring for quite some time by that time, and I thought I understood the presence versus the absence of presence. I thought I understood heaven and hell, but now I really understood it. And it gave me magnified love and compassion for people. And if I want anything for people to take away anything from this, it is that so many times we desire to do the sensational, and we'll sometimes get it backwards. We'll try to go out and do the sensational to bring the power of God. That's backwards. We need to get next to the power of God. His name is Jesus, our Messiah. We get close to Him, yoked to Him. I call it yoked and soaked. We get yoked to Jesus and soaked in His presence, and the Holy Spirit transfers that power into us so that we can do the things that Jesus did. And things began to happen that were very unusual. And I always prayed for people, but some very unusual things began to happen. My wife wanted to stop at Hallmark, and this lady with three children immediately came out of the store next to Hallmark, and she was strapping her children in the back of the car. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to compliment her children. I rolled down my window. The lady walked around to the front of the car after she had strapped the kids in. And I said, you sure have three beautiful children there. She said, thank you. And then the Holy Spirit said, I want you to ask her if they're from different fathers, each one. And I said, what?
Hey, there's a risk there.
There's a risk there. So I said, is each one from a different father? And she started toward my window, and I thought I was going to get either cussed at or slugged. And she said, yes, they are, and I'm carrying another child inside who is from yet another father, and all four fathers have left me. Open door, said. I said, may I tell you about a man who will love you and never leave you or forsake you? She said, oh, yes. And I shared the gospel, and within 2 minutes, the lady was making an altar of my window, and she was receiving Jesus. As she walked away, she turned back, and she said, you know what's really weird? I said, what's that? She said, we came to the wrong shopping center, the wrong store, came right back out and got back in the car. I came to the wrong place. I said, oh, no,
you
came to
right
exactly
place.
The right place.
Tell me about the cloud visitation of God's glory and the trauma you had from going to hell. I've talked to people that have gone to hell,
yeah,
and they say to me, it was a year before they were able to even tell their spouse about it.
Yes.
It was so traumatic. How'd you get over that?
Well, I'll tell you what happened is I felt that trauma after this experience in hell. I felt the trauma, and after that experience of sensing the glory cloud come back in. God did something that was awesome. He sent a young lady to my office that day to minister to me, who knew nothing about this. He then sent a word of knowledge from a Baptist friend of mine who had never heard the term word of knowledge. And he said, something unusual has been going on in you. I want you to get ready to reap the fruit of whatever God's been doing in you. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I'm saying this. And then a friend of mine called me. She was shopping in Hobby Lobby. And she said, I'm supposed to pray for you. I said, you sure are. She said, what's going on? And I told her. And I was still shaking a bit and suffering from this aftermath. She prayed for me. She prayed in the spirit as she walked through Hobby Lobby. And I said, aren't you in the store? She said, I'm not worried about it. If you're not, just be quiet and listen. And so she prayed, and all my strength came back. And wonderful things continued to happen. I was called to the hospital one day to pray for a boy who was in the trauma room in the ER. The grandmother called me. She went to our church. Grandmother called me. I got there. The head nurse wouldn't let me into the trauma room. She said, the doctor's about to call for a helicopter. We just simply can't let you in. It's too grave. The doctor came out at that moment. He said, hello, Gary, what are you doing here? We had known each other since childhood. You think God doesn't set things up? The grandmother said, they won't let him in. He said, oh, yes, he's going in. I went in. He went and called the helicopter. I went in and said, all the technicians, nurses, family, room full of people. I'm not usually this bold, but I said, can everybody give me 10 seconds and let's see what God will do. I stood at the foot of that bed as that little boy struggled to breathe, just making whistling noises. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you breathe your breath into this little boy. He went, started to breathe normally instantly.
Saw a miracle.
Instantly. I looked up, and the technicians and the nurses had their jaws on the ground. The family was weeping. The doctor burst in and said, I just called the helicopter, and what happened here? And grandmother said, God just touched my grandson. He said, I believe so. And he went over and listened to him and said, oh my, it's all changed. Now, if I go to that hospital today to the ER, that head nurse that wouldn't let me in says, well, hello, Pastor Brown, what room would you like to go to?
Since Gary's original visitation to heaven, he's been taken back to heaven many times. Tell me about this fascinating, the library in heaven and that hourglass and the word that you heard.
Yes. I've had several visitations to heaven, and sometimes visions, sometimes dreams. And three of those occasions, I've been into what is called the Great Library. Now, there are many libraries in heaven because you could not possibly write of all the glory of God. It could fill the oceans. So there are many, many libraries. But I was taken into the Great Library, and there's a massive desk there.
Were there actually books? Did it look like a regular library?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There was this massive desk and this huge, ornate, beautiful hourglass. It's filled with silver instead of sand. And progressively, each time I've been there, three times, there is more and more silver in the bottom, less and less in the top, and there's very little left in the top the last time I was there. There are bookshelves to the left that are gold-bound books, and those books, I was told, are the books of all kingdom truth. They're all the government of the kingdom is within those, all the truth of the kingdom. I then went into the library. There is a gigantic book I was told was the Book of Life. And then there are thousands and thousands, perhaps more. This place is huge. Book after book after book. And I believe what is written in those books are the works of man. So the Book of Life, in which God desires to blot no one out, He desires that all should be saved. And I believe He's working in every person on the face of this earth, wooing them into relationship, or wooing them into closer relationship if they already know Him as their Messiah.
He gave you a word about what's coming.
Yes. Early this year, about February 2023, the Lord spoke to me that on July 27th, there would be a shift. And at first, He didn't tell me exactly what that would be. He just spoke that to me. He continued to speak things to me about July 27th and ultimately spoke to me that there would be a shift on July 27th that would shift into 5 years of magnified evangelism and magnified grace. In other words, a magnified fruit of that evangelism. And I believe that during this five-year period, it doesn't mean there won't be evangelism and grace afterwards, but there is this five-year period we've shifted into in which I believe we will see that magnified evangelism and grace. And during that period, we're going to see millions come to the Lord. But I believe something else God's shown me, Sid, is this. There have been many, including Bob Jones and others, who have said there will be a billion soul harvest, an ingathering, before the Lord comes. The Lord spoke to me that sometime after this 5 years of massive evangelism, God will reveal His power and glory in some way that's so incredible that a billion people will immediately cry out to Jesus as their Savior, and the fulfillment of those prophecies of the billion soul in gathering will be fulfilled in a moment.
You know, I believe that many, many people watching have even said a prayer to know God, but never had experiential knowledge of God. This is what Gary's talking about. This is what has been missing. You feel like there's something in your life that's missing. This is it. Say this prayer out loud with me and mean it to the best of your ability. Dear God, I've committed many sins. For which I'm so sorry. I believe the blood of Jesus washes away my sins. And I am clean. And now that I'm clean, Jesus, come and live inside of me. Be my Savior for all of my sins. Come and live inside of me. And be my Lord. Amen. Gary, look in the camera and pray for our people.
What I've said resonated with many of you because you have known for some time there was a period of time coming where you were going to come into your destiny and share Jesus with a greater boldness than you've ever known. I speak that magnified love and compassion of Yeshua over you to share the Messiah. And I speak wisdom and grace and discernment and boldness and power as you spend time with Jesus in His marvelous name, in Jesus' name. There are others who have strongholds in your life, and I'll define that as something that consistently or persistently keeps you from the fullness of your destiny in God. And God spoke to me before I came here that there would be 7,000 people among those watching who would be freed from strongholds and 7 people within the studio audience. I speak over you now, and I encourage you to speak to those strongholds to leave and never come again. Father God, I pray for everyone listening. I pray a glory cloud upon each person to enter into this magnified time of evangelism and harvesting of fruit. Let them know exactly their place and let them go forward in the fullness of it to your glory. We break strongholds, every stronghold that holds anybody back. It's broken now over the 7,000 and over the 7 in Jesus' name.
And pray that the heavenly glory come on everyone.
I pray, Father, that heavenly glory come upon each one and we experience your presence, visitations, dreams, like never before, in the name of Jesus.